a lot of you are probably saying, well, I've never heard of Dr. Kathy Burns. Well, it just shows how well the enemies of God and liberty have kept this young lady hidden out, because she's been around quite a while doing research, tremendous research and documentation and writing. Dr. Kathy Burns has a degree in Bible philosophy, spent the last 19 years doing extensive research on the New Age movement and related subjects. She's written many articles, tracts, and booklets on various topics, and 9 other books other than the one I'm looking at right here, which is Billy Graham and His Friends, which we've talked about on this program before. One of them that came, the first one to come to our attention at our police and military association that really was quite astounding was her book on Masonic and occult symbols, which are all illustrated in this book, and it's a big, thick book. And what happened was, some of us Irish cops were wanting to buy these rings, these green, beautiful stoned rings from Ireland, and they had a particular symbol on them. And we didn't know what that symbol was, but it was beautiful. It was like a cross kind of woven together. And so one night, I saw this emblem on another in another book, and I thought, well, doggone, I'm going to go to Kathy's book, and I'm going to open it up and look at this symbol in here. And sure enough, I found out that it's a cult symbol used in Ireland. It's been around a long time. And I talked to our other Irish cops in our association, and we decided not to order that ring. So her work has just been astounding and so helpful for so many people in so many ways. And I've asked her to come on tonight to talk specifically about what is going on in the church today regarding the letting down of the boundaries that God set for us, tremendous, serious boundaries. And I talked to her about sitting in my son's church in Phoenix, Arizona, when I went to visit him a couple of years ago. And Dr. Tommy Barnett getting up in his big cathedral, I mean, it holds like 20,000 people, and he's Assemblies of God, one of the biggest churches in America. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, Tommy Barnett introduced a priest and a nun and turned the service over to him, and I just about fell into the aisle. But I noticed after that all the big million-dollar glitter bugs on TV were talking about coming together with the Catholic Church, joining hands and doing this and that. And I said, something's up. So anyway, we called Kathy Burns, Dr. Burns, and we said, your book on Billy Graham and His Friends have so much information, not just on Billy Graham, but what is going on in the Christian church today. So with that said, I'd like to bring up our good friend, Dr. Kathy Burns. Kathy, how are you tonight?
The Lord is helping me, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Believe me, you're one of our favorite people. You've taught us so much, and you're always coming up with something more we need to know.
Oh, well,
so
thank you
for
much.
Being on with us tonight.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Yes.
You were talking about the Catholic Church. I think maybe we ought to start just all the way back in the very beginning with Billy Graham.
Okay.
His first main crusade was held in Los Angeles. And, of course, the one there that really put him in the limelight was the man by the name of William Randolph Hearst.
Oh, yes.
Of course, he writes in his biography, this is Graham, he says this about this event. Now, we're going back again, 1949, so we're talking over 50 years ago already.
Oh,
and this
yes.
is Graham's book. He says, quote, when I arrived at the tent for the next meeting, the scene startled me. For the first time, the place was crawling with reporters and photographers. They had taken almost no notice of the meetings up until now, and very little had appeared in the papers. I asked one of the journalists what was happening. You've just been kissed by William Randolph Hearst, he responded. I had no idea what the reporter was talking about, although I knew the name Hearst, of course, was the great newspaper owner. I had never met the man, but like most Americans, I had read his papers. The next morning's headline story about the campaign in the Los Angeles Examiner, followed by an evening story in the Los Angeles Herald Express, both owned by Hearst, stunned me. The story was picked up by the Hearst papers in New York, Chicago, Detroit, and San Francisco, and then by all their competitors. Until then, I doubt if any newspaper editor outside the area had heard of our Los Angeles campaign. Supposedly, he had sent a message to his editors, quote, Huff Graham, unquote. Now, so this is where Graham is telling us this basically is Hearst got him started. He gave the message to his editors, Puff Graham. But I think what's even more important than this here statement was that actually the night before the rally, Hearst had run an editorial. And this is what Hearst himself said. Of all great assemblies to take place in the Los Angeles area this year, none perhaps will be more significant and with more far-reaching effects than the Billy Graham rally and the Pasadena Rose Bowl tomorrow evening, unquote. Now, how did Hearst know in advance that that rally would probably have far-reaching effects? It appears as though there was a setup from the very, very beginning. Now, who was Hearst? This will help you answer some of the questions you were asking when we started. Hearst lived in adultery for some 30 years by having movie actress Marianne Davies as his mistress. He built a castle where he entertained the rich and the famous people, particularly inviting the decadent actors and actresses from Hollywood to come and stay as guests and, of course, flaunt their sinful ways of living. Several of those in leadership at Hearst Publications were Masons and so on, and then Hearst also is into the book publishing now, and he publishes books, supposedly so-called Christian, but also pro-gay, occultic, and satanic books. So why would someone of this caliber actually take an interest in Billy Graham to start with?
Very interesting. Yeah.
Yes. Here he is. Hearst is not a Christian. He's living in adultery. And in fact, the thing is, he is a Catholic. And William Randolph Hearst was instrumental in even helping out not only with the 49 Crusade, but he helped out with Graham's 1957 Crusade in Madison Square Garden. And he funded 3 years of Billy Graham's meetings. So Graham had to basically get into Catholicism from the very beginning.
What was Graham giving them that Hearst was so excited about? What was it about his message that made him cling on to him and say, hey, we want to promote this boy? What was it?
I'm not real sure, but shortly before this time, Graham and some others had been working with Youth for Christ, and one of Hearst's editors had gone on the trip with them, and they evidently saw that Graham was one that they could probably control, manipulate. Graham has always been on the fence, and it probably came through, and they probably saw they could work with somebody like this who could not take a strong stand, like just this year, and I'd like to talk about that a little later on, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Just the last crusade he had in June of 2005, he brags up Clinton's from the pulpit and all.
Yeah, New York City.
Yes, and then he goes on, and when people complained, he said, oh, it was just a joke. Well, it really wasn't, because I have proof from before that he's been doing the same thing. But the thing is, when he went and he talked to a Lutheran paper, the Lutherans believe in salvation by baptism, basically, or baptism saves. So when he talks to the Lutheran newspaper, he says that there's something that actually takes place in baptism. Well, since he's Southern Baptist, his group said, oh, now, wait a minute, we believe in baptism by immersion. He says, well, I don't agree with the Lutheran doctrine. I agree with my church doctrine. No matter where you get Billy, even the issue with Nixon, he's talking about the Jews. But when it comes out that he actually talked against the Jews, then he says, oh, I don't ever remember having those feelings.
He changes. He flip-flops.
All the time.
Call it flip-flopping.
And I believe they saw this in him from the very beginning and knew that they could probably use such a person, because no matter what you'd want him to say, he would regurgitate it.
Well, I remember as a young cop, when he came back from Russia, communist Russia, remember that? And he says, they have religious freedom in communist Russia. And I thought to myself, this guy is either smoking something or he's purposely lying to us, because, of course, that was not true. So it's astounding, the statements that this guy has made. But what I've noticed, Dr. Kathy, especially when you read your book, Billy Graham and His Friends, is that he refuses, and a good example is when he was given, 100 hours after his New York conference up there to talk about himself, and he says, I'm not political. That's why I don't talk about abortion. I don't talk about homosexuality. I don't talk about anything because I'm not political. Well, sister, that's not political. I mean, that's God's word that he will not talk about. So I can see where he might be very popular with those that might want to water down Christianity.
Exactly. Well, you were talking about him not mentioning abortion and homosexuality. I think it's not because he does not want to be political. It's because he does not want the evangelical Christian to really know his stance on these issues. You see, his father-in-law, Dr. Nelson Bell, was a missionary in China, and he performed abortions, and he explained his reasoning to Billy Graham. And Graham has come out on a few occasions. You don't really hear it much. It's not publicized. But in 1989 and 1992 on CNN, and then in May 1997 on 2020, he did advocate abortion in the case of rape or incest or any of those things, he added.
Oh, boy. Wow.
So, see, he says he can't really state when, he says, I can't complain about abortion because no one really knows when life begins. So this is why he can't say anything at this point, because most of the evangelical Christians, and rightly they should, just forget them, write them off, don't put them in, you know, their will, don't put them in their will, or don't give donations and all to his meetings, don't support. Also with the homosexualities, oh, there's other sins, and he's, after he talked with Al Gore, he came out and he said, you know, there's worse sins than homosexuality, I'm going to be starting to talk about the environment now. But again, people have to realize, his ghostwriter was a man by the name of Mel White, a homosexual.
Oh, yes, Mel White, yeah.
Good old Mel White. And Mel White did not just write for Billy Graham. He has written for Pat Robertson.
That's
he
right.
wrote speeches for Oliver North. He also writes for Jerry Falwell, or he had written for Jerry Falwell. So, I mean, Graham's not the only one in this category. So, again, and Graham has so many friends within the homosexual community. And we also have to realize this. The homosexual church has even helped in his crusades, which means there were homosexual counselors there that people were being counseled by when they went down the aisle. And
absolutely amazing, Kathy. It's absolutely amazing how Christianity has changed today, and I wonder if God wasn't talking about that when he talked about the great falling away and the final apostasy. If we're not coming into that today, what do you think?
We are going into this, and this is one thing a lot of us, I don't think, fully realize. We must have a very religious, not an atheistic society, but a very religious and openly spiritual society to give worship to the Antichrist. An atheistic society is not going to fall down and worship someone who claims to be, quote-unquote, the Christ.
Yes.
We have to prepare. And as far back as 1992 already, Graham was calling for what it was supposed to have been in the Oregon paper, a one merged church. So we need this type of a merged church and a church that is ready to worship and give allegiance to someone or something in order to have the Antichrist come on the scene. And Graham has fallen right into that category.
He certainly has. In his later years here, I think his memory's slipping or something, because in his later years, Dr. Kathy, he's made incredible statements that really none of us heard for years and years. Now, he may have made the same statements, and according to your book, he was saying those things, but the controlled media in America would never let us know the things he was saying. But lately, it seems like, my goodness gracious, saying that people of all religions can come together and they don't have to know the Lord Jesus Christ to go to heaven and things like this, which are would make one believe that he isn't a Christian, or what kind of a Christian would he be to believe those things that are totally against the Word of God?
The Bible says by their fruits you can know them, and his fruits just do not, they are fruits of a Christian. There's no way, and I know several are saying, oh, it's just his latter years.
Yes, he's getting
senile. But let me ask you, when President Reagan had left office and he started his stages of Alzheimer's, were they sending him as an envoy or an ambassador to other countries? Were they giving messages to him to take to other presidents, like the president of North Korea, or into other countries? No.
No.
Because he was getting senile. But they still used Graham. And they just had a birthday party of this President Bush. Just had, I think it was on his 83rd, so it would be about 3 years ago, he invited him to the White House with some family members and had a big birthday cake and a birthday party for Billy Graham. You did not see this happening under President Reagan, and we have to remember Reagan's vice president happened to be George Bush's father, George Bush. So I don't think there's a senility there. He is having problems. He has physical problems. We do not deny that. But I think what happened was we just saw this icon for all these years, and most people just turned a blind eye. They'd see a problem, and they'd say, well, but, you know, we'll ignore that. But when you see 50, 100, 200 problems, you can't keep ignoring it.
Yes.
And the signs weren't there.
Yes, your book points out that this is not new for Billy Graham. He's been showing these signs, and he's been saying these type of things, and the people that has been his best friends have been those pushing the Antichrist world government agenda.
That's right.
And I think you point that out so well in your book. My goodness gracious. So this is not something new for Billy Graham that's come with senility, if indeed he has senility at all. Isn't that true?
That's right.
We're talking about why it is, folks, trying to figure it out why it is for the last probably 40 years for me. When I would go to my fundamentalist Christian church, every week the pastor would act like a psychologist and teach us or preach to us about how we should treat our mother, how we should treat our dog, how we should treat each other, how we should be saved, and all of these things. And they never talked about the problems of the day that was leading this nation into this Antichrist world government system, and they refused to do so. Something's going on in the church, and we're trying to sort this out by having wonderful guests like Dr. Kathy Burns on tonight. So, Kathy, I want to turn the microphone over to you, and you just lead us where we need to go tonight. Would you do that for us?
Okay, well, I'll mention, we'll go back to the, just this very last crusade.
Yeah.
On the platform, now this is from June 24th to 26th, but on the night of June 25th, on the platform with Billy Graham sits Bill and Hillary Clinton, Charles Schumer, and Michael Bloomberg. Now, if you know anything about these people, why would they be invited on a fundamentalist Christian platform? Not only were they sitting there, but Bloomberg and Bill Clinton both had brief speeches. You don't turn over the pulpit of God to give these type people access to the audience. This is just not right. But again, this goes back a lot further than people think. Now, there was that one minister you probably heard of, Reverend Cheng, that had walked out when Clinton got up. He said, I've been following Billy Graham for 25 years, and I've really thought the world of him. I'm a man of God. But I couldn't understand why he'd have Bill Clinton there. But if he would have just read some books on his own, such as the U.S. News and World Report of May 3rd, 1993, in that article, Billy Graham said this about Clinton, quote, I am quite impressed with his charisma and with some of the things he believes. If he chose to preach the gospel instead of politics, he would make a great evangelist.
Well, he probably would today. Sadly, that might be true.
But I thought
an
evangelist.
There might be more in that statement that you and I aren't aware of than Billy was exposing there, but we didn't know.
But I thought an evangelist should be a Christian first.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Of course, Billy Graham thinks he is a Christian. And then he also said this, he said, from a biblical point of view, we should be headed in the direction of goodness and righteousness, away from crime and immorality, and toward one's neighbors who are in need. I'm encouraged by the emphasis President Clinton and Hillary are putting on that. That goes to 93. Of course, you know, after this, of course, Bill Clinton was photographed with the Democratic fundraiser, Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy. And then, of course, the sexual scandals came out with Monica Lewinsky. And then Graham says this. He says, I forgive him. Well, first of all, I didn't know he could forgive. I thought that was only God. But Graham says, I forgive him because I know the frailty of human nature, and I know how hard it is, and especially a strong, vigorous young man like he is. He has such a tremendous personality. I think the ladies just go wild over him, unquote. So it looks like it's the ladies' fault rather than, you know, Clinton. Then in Graham's autobiography, 1997, Just As I Am, he mentioned that he was with President Clinton on May 1st, 1996. And here again, he says, quote, it was a time of warm fellowship with a man who has not always won the approval of his fellow Christians. See, he's putting Clinton as a Christian, but who has in his heart a desire to serve God and do his will, unquote. At a luncheon for 500 newspaper editors at their annual convention in Washington, D.C., Graham said that the president's personal life and character are irrelevant. And at this luncheon, he promoted Clinton as a man of God. And he went on, he said, I believe Bill has gone to his knees many times and asked God to help him. Then on Larry King Live, Graham said that he had been friends with Bill Clinton for years, but of course he would not bring up the issues of abortion and homosexuality to him because then he wouldn't be invited back to the White House. And then, of course, as, you know, just about about a week and a half ago, he called the Clintons wonderful friends, a great couple and all. Well, then, like I mentioned, the other one on the platform was Michael Bloomberg. And he gets up at this meeting, and he said that it was truly an honor for our city to host this historic gathering. Just 4 days before, June 21st, he had accepted the endorsement of the Log Cabin Republicans. And that's the gay political group. And, of course, for those who don't know, log cabin is a sexual term for one of the things that the gays do. So here's this group, 4 days. He accepts the endorsement just 4 days before he gets up behind the pulpit and speaks at Graham's meeting. And, of course, it wasn't the only time. Bloomberg's been holding gay and lesbian. He's been appearing and holding welcome services for them. I have several copies of letters he's written to the gay community. He endorses the gay rights, the whole bit. And then, of course, Ben Schumer was there, a Democrat. One's Republican, one's Democrat. It doesn't much matter. They all profess really the same thing. And he's repeatedly earned the 100% voting rates from groups like NARAL, the National Abortion Reproduction Rights Action League, Planned Parenthood, NAACP, Children's Defense Fund, Citizens for Global Solutions, National Organization for Women, Americans for Democratic Action, and the National Education Association.
Yeah, probably NAMBLA, too.
Well, that I don't have, but who knows, because he is very pro-homosexual. He's not only pro-abortion, he is pro-partial birth abortion, and he has voted in favor of this. He has also voted in favor of adding sexual orientation to the hate crimes. And here's another one on the platform with Graham. These things have been there if you go into his autobiography, and that's part of what made me start writing my book, because I already knew the world government names. John Foster Dulles, Henry Luce, Winston Lord, Rupert Murdoch, Henry Kissinger, Bernard Baruch. He'd mentioned these names as their great friends. They're the ones that helped and opened the doors to meetings in other countries, China, England, and so forth. And I start thinking, there is something wrong. And, of course, as I did more and more research, it started to come out. But, again, it's been there, but most of us never noticed.
That's right. It's surely not brought out to the media's attention, and the media wouldn't talk about it anyway. But what I see formulating here, my dear, is world religion. Seems like we're all joining hands and we're coming together. You don't need Jesus Christ to get to heaven, as Billy Graham says, and his friends. The big kahuna of Crystal Cathedral, I guess, agrees with him. What's his name?
Robert Shuler.
Robert Shuler,
yeah. Well, he got Robert Shuler started. He's the one that helped Robert Shuler go into the TV business in the first place. And, of course, there again, the praises flow both ways. Graham has him on. In fact, he prayed at one of the Crusades not real long ago. And then, of course, Shuler has Graham on, and they're back and forth, and they just brag each other up, and we know good and well. And, see, this is what's so sad. Most of your evangelicals never really went for Robert Shuler. They said, oh, he's New Agey, he's some positive thinking, whatever. But they follow the one who set him up, who is Billy Graham, and they follow his protege, who is Rick Warren. And Rick Warren And Rick Warren prayed at the November 2004 Los Angeles Billy Graham Crusade. I mean, these people keep using each other over and over. And Rick Warren, again, a lot of evangelicals are following him. They love the church growth materials. But he has teamed up with a New Ager, Clint Blanchard, who promotes yoga and mantra meditation. And he brought him in. In fact, he hired him, brought him in to teach other pastors how to have this church growth and all. Robert Shuler had his church growth meeting. And he had Rick Warren come and speak to over 80 gays and lesbians in the audience on how to make their churches grow.
Wow.
This is incredible.
This is incredible, Kathy. So what is it all about? What is it just as simple as these big glitter bugs, as I call them, multi-million-dollar glitter bugs, are preparing us for the world religion under this Antichrist world government system? Is that the bottom line?
I believe it. And for, see, over 30 years already, Graham has been begging presidents to have other faiths represented at the inauguration. Uh-huh. And back, going back to Richard Nixon in 1969 already, Nixon had asked Graham to pray. And here's what Graham says in his own autobiography. These are things that he said in his book. I'm not pulling out of thin air. Here's his quote. He said, Nixon wanted me to do all the prayers at the swearing-in ceremony, but I objected. Dick, you've got to have all faiths represented, or you're going to have trouble. No, I just want you, he insisted. Eventually, Nixon gave in to the ecumenical idea, and I suggested other clergy, including my friend and supporter, Rabbi Edgar Fogel Magnin of the large Jewish synagogue on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, unquote. So you see, Billy Graham was the one who pushed to even bring in the Jewish religion. Of course, he went on. He said, we can't leave out the Catholics. We can't leave out the Orthodox. We've got to bring them all in.
Dr. Kathy, sounds like he is very political.
Like, yes.
He said on television here a few days ago after his New York City thing, I don't want to get political, so I just stick to Scripture. Which sounds like he's led his life and some of the things that he's taught some of these presidents and others is to be very political, be very balanced. Now, is he talking out of two sides of his mouth when he talks about not wanting to be political?
Well, go back to 1990 when we were ready to go into war with Iraq.
Iraq,
I guess it was. Who did he call? He calls Billy Graham. He says, come and stay overnight at the White House. This is not political. When I believe it was Eisenhower, one of the presidents wanted to segregate or desegregate, I guess it was something. He called Billy Graham. Billy said, Graham says, go ahead and do it. These presidents come to Graham before they make political decisions. This is political. He pretends to hide behind religion. The whole time he is political. And right before, like, say, I'm not sure which election it was, maybe, it's the one right before Clinton got in. Just days before the election, Billy Graham goes on record. He says, well, I'm a Democrat. Hint, 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 you know. Because most people would say, oh, he's probably Republican. I mean, evangelical Christian. He'd want better values. Not that there really are, you know, different values between the two parties.
That's true.
But and even going back, you know, another 10 years, we didn't know quite as much then as we see today. And there were slight differences then. But, I mean, he lets you know that, I'm a Democrat. Now, he didn't tell us how he voted, but he gave a political idea of where he probably was going to throw his vote. And he, of course, bragged up Clinton at that point. But then he'll come out and say, well, I'm friends with Bush, too. He always took both sides. And he can hide behind this, but he's political.
Tell us, sister, about, you know, I grew up with Billy Graham. I mean, my mom loved Billy Graham, and boy, every time there was one of these speeches came on radio or television, she was right there. I had to be right there, and I loved Billy Graham because my mom loved Billy Graham, and he was saving millions and millions of souls. What do we have here? Tell us about that, all these people that he's saving. And when you see all these people coming down the aisles, what's going on here?
Well, when you look, especially, I don't have a TV, but I hear, you know, you know that it's just a tremendous throng goes forward when he says, you know, anybody who would like to come to Christ, just basically walk the aisle or come down here to the front. And all of a sudden, people from all over the auditorium just start streaming forward. And you're saying, oh, isn't this marvelous? Look how many people are going to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, there's a little bit of a problem with this. Yes, some are saved. I do not doubt it. I know of people that have been saved.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's only because of perhaps their hunger and their desire. It's not because of Billy Graham. And some of them did get into church. Several were sent back to a Catholic church but still had the hunger and searched on their own and found out. In fact, the one said, by me going to a Billy Graham crusade, I lost a year and a half of my life because he was turned over to the Catholic church. But eventually he did find how to accept Christ and, you know, be born again. But you're looking, you say, oh, look at this wonderful throng going down there. Well, what people need to know is the bulk of those people going down there are not actually seekers. It's the choir members and the counselors. And they're staged throughout the entire audience. And they're told to get up at different times that it looks like this continuous thronging and flowing forward. And granted, I understand sometimes that if someone else would make the move, someone who'd be afraid to go may actually go, and they may get help. I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong, but I am saying it's not the group that people think. Then once they get up there to the front, there's the decision card with three decisions on there. One is assurance of salvation, one is rededication, and then one is to accept Christ for the first time. Only about one-third even fill that thing out. So of those few that do actually go forward, only about one-third of them are going for a first-time decision in the first place. Most of them are just going to rededicate their lives, or they want to get back into the church or whatever after this.
Yeah. And so it's not salvation. Didn't you say, Dr. Kathy, that the counselors that meet you will be Catholics, they'll be homosexuals, they'll be people of other faith there, and yes. Billy Graham turns you over to those people of those other faiths.
That's right. And like even now, again, we're going back 1957. In fact, that's when some fundamentalists did part with Graham. Around 57 to the early 60s, a few started seeing it, and they came away. But the bulk still did not. But in 1957, Norman Vincent Peale, an occultist, a Mason, sat on the platform. He supported the Graham Crusade. They're wonderful friends. Graham has bragged him up in his autobiography and otherwise. He just loves Norman Vincent Peale. And again, like I said, he is an occultist. He practices all kinds of occult phenomena. He got more decision cards than all 14 of the conservative Baptist churches put together.
Norman Vincent Peale did.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
And that was 40 years ago.
And that's those cards that they fill out that they want to have counseling. They want to come into an organization, a church, and Billy Graham's given them to these organizations that are truly, many aren't Christian at all.
That's right. And I know there's many that would not fall within the range of evangelicalism. In fact, I just got something about a week or two ago where one group, they believe that we are gods and so on. They do not believe in the fundamentals of the faith. They believe there's a second chance after death. There's no hell, all kinds of different, the Holy Spirit is just the force, not a person, things like this.
New agey,
and also just denying the fundamentals of the faith. And they were bragging how they have participated in the November 2004 Los Angeles meeting. They had sent their counselors there, and that they got decision cards.
Fascinating. Very, very sad. But,
yes.
My goodness gracious, folks. It's not always like it looks, folks. It's not always like it looks. We're finding out. It's sad. But we'll be right back after this break, folks. And we want to get Kathy to give out her address so you can get some of her very important literature. I was a Billy Graham supporter my whole life. I think I revered him like the second coming of Christ almost, because my family did. This was a man of God that all of us wanted to be like. And so you can imagine how shocked I was when I began to hear the things Billy Graham was saying, which is obviously against what Jesus Christ said and the Holy Scriptures teaches. I was absolutely shocked. So remember, folks, that facts denied do not cease to exist. And we have to deal with these things. You know the church is in trouble in America. I know it is. There's something wrong, and I think we're getting to some of that tonight. Let's go back to Dr. Kathy Burns. And Dr. Kathy, before we run out of time, we only have just a few minutes left, matter of fact, would you get out a way people can contact you and find out about your very important publication?
Well, they can call Power of Prophecy at 800-234-9673. That's 800-234-9673. And I guess he carries probably at least six or so of my books.
Okay, very good. And folks, if you go to the web, too, and you put in there Dr. Kathy Burns and her organization, I think it's still Sharing, isn't it?
It's Sharing.
R-I-N-G.
But I don't have a website.
Okay, but still, there's a lot of material on you and your books there, my dear, because once again, tonight, before you were on, I was back on the web. And you've done a lot of good for a lot of people. You've made us think outside the box that we've been stuffed in by the church today. And we better get outside that box because God is going to help us hold us accountable, is he not, Kathy, for what we do that is not his will?
Yes, he will. And I want to say this, too. I had some differences theologically with Billy Graham, but we were always trying to help our community. We would hand out a lot of gospel literature on my way to work or anything like this. I'd take tracts with me, and I wanted to reach the community here so bad for the Lord, and I thought the best way to do it was to bring a Billy Graham film in, and that's what we had done. We were responsible for getting the film in. I mean, I helped promote Billy Graham, too. Not his crusade, it was not in the area. But we did what we thought was the best at the time. And, again, who was the best one to select but Billy Graham? We all thought this.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, we were all told that this is a wonderful icon of virtue. He's the one that's never been caught in scandals, which is not true either. It's just been covered up by the media. But
very powerful people.
Yes, yeah. But, I mean, we all looked up to him as a man of God. But if you pick up, go to Graham's own books. It's right there in his own books, what he's saying. I mean, he says in the book that, in fact, well, this one he didn't write, but he asked to have it written about he expects to see Elvis Presley in heaven. You know, the sex addict, occultist, drug addict, the one who died of a drug overdose, he's going to see him in heaven. He was just asking April about the Pope. Oh, yes, he's in heaven, you know.
Oh, yes.
The Pope's in heaven. So these are the things that, and again, you don't have senile people onto your TV program, and they're still having them on.
They sure are. They're just pumping him like nobody else right now. Of course, they do the same with George Bush, our good Christian president, too.
Mm, yeah.
That's another show. A big show.
Yeah.
Okay, sister. Well, give out that address again for people, would you?
The phone number?
Yes.
800-234-9673.
One more time.
800-234-9673.
Thank you for making us think tonight, sister. God bless you. You make a lot of people think. And you also have the knowledge and information available to them. Thank you so much, Dr. Kathy.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Lord bless you. And I hope he continues to use you in a great way. Thank you.
I want to be used, yes.
Okay, God bless you.
Okay, God bless.
Good night.